Matthew 13, and the parable title is The Sower, The Sower. I'm going to read quickly, but I want us to follow along, if you would, in verse number 1. Matthew 13, 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places, and where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Notice this last verse. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. In our time that we have, God, would you, by your Spirit, be the teacher tonight? Help us, God, not to be distracted by what happened earlier today or what we think is going to happen tomorrow or what we have planned. Help us to be focused on your word. And Holy Spirit of God, I need your help. I'm a weak man, but this word is all powerful. And Lord, I only want to say what you want me to say. So God, I pray that we would be Spirit-filled listeners. There's someone here that's not saved tonight, Father. I pray that this seed would fall on good ground and there would be fruit that would remain. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a quick review. We talk about the word parable. The word parable. They're found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All of the three Gospels contain the parables. The word parable means to cast alongside. Last week's parable, this week's parable, each and every one of them. Typically, there is something that God is using, that Jesus Christ is using in a way that is applicable to even what's happening right here, but also for us tonight, 2,000 years later, with at least one, maybe take-home truth, if you will, within these parables. There is a major truth or principle. In this one passage of Scripture, this chapter, there are seven parables alone. Seven. Now, we're not looking at all of them tonight. We don't have time for that. And we'll barely get through this one, okay? But here, he's giving a parable. And then, toward the end of the chapter, not all the way at the end, it's quite a long chapter, he explains the parable. If you look down at verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the what? The sower. So the title of this parable is The Sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So that was the first one that Jesus spoke about in verse number 4. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. In other words, it's saying there that immediately this individual hears the word. It's good. It's good information. He takes it in. Here's a problem, though. Verse 21, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. In other words, he only keeps going for a little while. It's kind of like a firecracker. Maybe a little bit different than that, but I think about many times I've met firecracker Christians, or maybe they weren't even Christians. They just made a loud bang and then they were gone. What happened there? Well, quite frankly, maybe what happened there is what Jesus is talking about here, that they were this second individual that received the word, but no root. And notice what happened. We talked about this morning. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the what, church? You see it? Can you say it with me? The what? Word. One more time. The Word. I guess I've been used to VBS kids. They're loud all week. Oh, you're adults. That's right. I shouldn't expect you to be that vocal, all right? The Word. Hey, guess what? The Word of God brings persecution. That's why many people don't ever share the Word of God. I'm talking about Christians. We won't even give a gospel tract. Why? Because we don't want somebody to say something to us and make us feel bad. God deliver us from that kind of Christianity. God deliver me from that kind of Christianity. Look, everybody that you meet every day, one day they're going to meet their maker, so to speak. One day they're going to stand before God. We have an opportunity to spread the word. Well, anyway, this person, it's a little bit off topic, but because of the word, by and by, he is offended. So this person can't handle the preaching, in a sense. He can't handle the doctrine of the word of God, and that's not what he signed up for. I was hearing somebody preach today, and it was a great analogy. He was talking about that salvation. A lot of times, we think salvation is just to go to heaven and not go to hell. But salvation is way more than that. Salvation opens up an opportunity for us to have a personal relationship with God. Think about that. Salvation opens up an opportunity for us to say no to the flesh and say yes to the Spirit. You know, when you're not saved, you cannot say yes to the Spirit. You can't do that until the day you get convicted of your sin and the Spirit of God says you need to get saved. That's the first time that a sinner says yes to the Spirit, when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then from then on out, the Holy Spirit wants to make a junkyard redemption out of my life and yours. Lest you think your life wasn't a junkyard redemption, every sinner is a junkyard redemption that gets saved. Every single one. And so I am so thankful that God reached down his loving hand, his merciful hand, and pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. Let's keep reading. 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world. Notice what else? We talked about this last Sunday morning. And the deceitfulness of what? Riches. Choke the word. And you know what? A striving for wealth and striving for any kind of gain like this, as that being our goal, the goal should always be God. The goal should never be gold. The goal should be God. And when somebody sets out for that, notice what happens, that the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, they choke the word out of him. And what happens? No fruit. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, beareth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The setting, verse number 1, we read it just quickly. We've got to get moving along here. Sea of Galilee, they're near Capernaum. The emphasis, look at verse number 9, if you will. Verse number 9, who hath ears to hear, notice those last three words, let him hear. So the emphasis of this parable is not on the speaker. The emphasis of this parable is on the listener. Jesus is saying, if you can hear this, it doesn't mean audibly. He means if you can handle this, if you can take this in, please listen carefully, because I have something for you, the Lord Jesus is saying. The emphasis is placed on the heart of the one hearing the parable. What is the soil of the heart like of the one hearing the parable? What kind of soil do you have tonight? What kind of soil do I have tonight? Okay? This can be every day when we open the Word of God. I hope that I would pray and that you would pray for your own life, that you would say, God, I don't want any rocks in my heart. Would you break up those rocks? Because God, I don't want to just be someone who goes in one ear and out the other. I don't want it to start to grow a little bit in my life. And then it goes away. I don't want it to be where it starts and it hits the ground and then a big old bird comes down and takes that seed off of my heart. No, I want it to go down and I want it to go down deep. The only way that's going to happen is if my heart is soft. Jesus says, if you've got ears to hear, listen. Listen carefully. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. But do you see what the first mention was? The heart. Started with the heart, then it went to the ears, then it went to the eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But he's saying there's a problem here. The people's heart has grown dull. They're not listening as they ought to. It is one thing for you and for me to say, I am a Christian. I'm not going to have a raise of hands tonight. But it's another thing to be a Christian that is bearing fruit. This is why God saved me. God did not save me to be a pastor. God did not save me to be a husband or a dad or a godly friend to you. Yes, all of those things are part of my life and my job description. But God saved me first and foremost to bring him glory. Revelation 4:11, our theme verse from last year. And within that, God saved me to be a fruit-bearing son, a child of the King. That I would be fruit-bearing. And that if you're saved tonight, that's exactly why God has saved you too. You have the privilege, and we, if we're saved, we have the privilege to bear fruit for the King of Kings. Think about that. Would you go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1? The first point in our outline tonight is the seed. One thing about each one of these situations that Jesus taught about is exactly the same. In the sense of not the person doing it, but what's being given out, and that is the seed. It's the same in each one of these illustrations. Verse number 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with incorruptible things. Excuse me, with corruptible things. That's a bad boo-boo there. As silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. And there's so much we could say about that verse. It really, really shoots a lot of holes into, remember Brother Barry and I were talking before church about some things, and it really shoots a lot of holes into the theology of some churches. Just that one verse. Because their whole premise is a lot on tradition. Their whole premise, as it says there, is if I'm giving my silver and gold, then I'm all set for heaven. I've been giving to the church for 50 years. Surely I'm all set for heaven. Peter says this is not what brings salvation. The same thing he says here from your vain conversation received by, it's talking about our lifestyle that's been received from our fathers. Now again, not all traditions are wrong, but if we put traditions above truth, now we have a problem. Because traditions are not more important than truth. Truth is number one. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Didn't say sanctify them through thy traditions. Sanctify them through the baptism tank. That's not what it says. It's through truth. So we must follow truth. Then it says, so you're not redeemed this way, but with the precious blood of Christ, verse 19, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, hallelujah, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. I hope your faith and hope is in God tonight. It's in a risen Savior. It's not in a dead Savior. It's in a Savior who's alive. It's not in dead and vain traditions. It's in the truth of the gospel right here. This is where our hope is. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Wow, God is so good. Let's keep reading. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the what? Truth. Are you there with me? In obeying the what? Truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, not fake. God sees right through your heart and mine. Oh, I love God. God knows exactly if that's feigned or unfeigned. Only God can really see that sometimes, quite frankly, because we've all learned how to put on a show. You know what? God doesn't care for my show. God doesn't care for your show. God wants us to love him from the heart. Genuinely. Let's keep reading. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible what? Seed, but of incorruptible. Incorruptible seed. What is incorruptible seed? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's one thing that will never die, and it's God's word. God's word will never die. One day, if the Lord doesn't return really soon, this old body may die. But you know what? This book will never die. Every one of us here might die before the Lord returns, and we might get buried, and there might be a funeral, and there might be singing and crying, and and I'm making fun of that. I'm just saying, we will go on, but this book will never die. This book will never die because God is eternal. God is eternal. Before the beginning began to begin, there was only a who? Yes, that's right, God. In the beginning, God. So because God is eternal, this is God's holy book. So it's eternal. Jesus spoke incorruptible words. This book is incorruptible. When you give this book, and another thing that Brother Barry was really helping me with, and you didn't know you were helping me, but you were helping me, and he was saying it's so important that we just give people the word of God. Everything I say and everything you say is no way powerful like this book right here. This book is a sword. It rightly divides. It conquers. It goes into the bone and the marrow and the intents of the heart. It gets right down in there where I can't go and you can't go. But God's word can get right down in there. And it can bring conviction. It can bring a convincing. And we hope and pray that it will bring a conversion if someone's lost. But it's not just for the unsaved people. It's for saved people too. And it takes my heart and it changes it. It takes fear away and puts faith in there. That no matter what's happening, God is good and he's still on his throne. God answers prayer. God's word is incorruptible. Would you go over quickly to Isaiah 55? Maybe you want to mark this verse. Isaiah 55. I remember Brother Bernie using this verse a lot. And I'm glad he did. Brother Bernie's doing well there in North Carolina. Still doing some work with, my brain is really having a tough time tonight. Yeah, HVAC, thank you very much. Thank you, brother. Glad you're here. And some HVAC work, and I miss him. I miss him. And, of course, his dear wife's been with the Lord now for a bit. And we'll see them all again one of these days. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me, what? Void. Shall not return unto me void. It will not return empty. It will have something with it. But it shall accomplish. Aren't you glad for those words? Like shall and will in your Bible. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper. Do you see that? Four times we got that great old English word shall. I'm sure you use that every day in your house. I shall be there soon, my dear. I'm not making fun of the old English. I'm just saying, I love hearing it though and reading it in the Word of God. It's so definitive. It's so final. With God, he is going to do whatever he shall do. I may say I'm going to do something and go back on it. God never does. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Number one, we see the seed, and we see that the seed is very powerful. Would you go to Psalm 126? Number two, we see the sower. Psalm 126, the sower was in this parable. The seed, the power of the seed. It's your responsibility as a Christian. It's my responsibility as a Christian to get the seed out into the harvest field. What is the seed? The word of God. It is incorruptible. It liveth and abideth forever. When you plant a seed of the word of God, God takes over. You might actually be planting a seed, but you may not be planting. You might even be watering the previous seed. We don't know. That's why we've got to keep getting the seed out. It might even be the third or the fourth time somebody has heard a little bit of truth or a lot of bit of truth. I'm not to be concerned with that part of it. What I'm to be concerned with is being responsible with the gospel, the seed. It is so powerful. The sower, Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are what? Glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We even talked about it this morning from James chapter number 5. The harvest doesn't come immediately. The harvest doesn't come right away. The husbandman has to wait, and he prays, and he waits. Eventually, the harvest comes, and we see the beauty of that even in verse number 6, how it goes out as a seed, and it comes back as a sheave. It goes out as a little bit, and it comes back as something very, very useful and profitable. But there's a time there, but there's a weeping there. Jesus Christ is the sower in Matthew 13. You and I are called to sow. Let me give you three things quickly about this. Number one, we must sow with a broken heart. He that goeth forth and weepeth. We must go. That's kind of a given. But I'm going to just skip that one and say, we need to go with a broken heart. What do you mean, broken heart? Well, if we have the heart of God, if we have the heart of the Lord, when he looked at the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were sheep with no shepherd. And you don't have to look very far, wherever you live or wherever you work or wherever you go in a weekly time, you can see just what Jesus saw, maybe in a little different way, but we can see many, many people who need help. They need help. We go weeping. We go with a broken, tender heart. I have to guard against this. You have to guard against this. What is it? Here's what we have to guard against. We have to guard against the attitude of, well, you know what? They got themselves into it. They got to get out of it. I mean, thankfully, God doesn't look at me that way. Thankfully, God has mercy, right? So may we go with weeping. I say we need to go with a broken heart. With a broken heart. Number two, sow regularly. Sow regularly. Every day that you leave your home is an opportunity to sow in God's harvest field. There's one thing about sowing. We do not know the soil. We're coming to that next. We do not know the soil. Now, sometimes we do, but most of the time, we have no idea what the soil is like. I'm not to be a soil inspector. I'm to be a sower. God never told us to check the soil first. He said, go that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. So what do I go with? I go with the seed. I go with the Word of God. I go with what is incorruptible. And I take what is incorruptible and I spread it everywhere. Now, what happens is exactly what we read in Matthew 13. Those are the destinations that the seed hits. It hits all three of those. But I still have to sow. That's my responsibility, sowing. Sow with a broken heart, sow regularly. Then number three, it's vital that we sow prayerfully. Prayerfully. When we go with the gospel, do you know what we need? We need the Holy Spirit of God enabling us to sow with power. There's one thing to sow on your own. There's another thing to sow with power. Do you know what we have available? We have power available through the Holy Spirit of God. It's not about us. It's not about who we are, but it's about who's in us. Who's in us as Christians? The Spirit of God. So what do we need to do? We need to pray. Number one, we need to pray about any unconfessed sin. When we go out there to sow the Word of God, this means every day, quite frankly, we need to pray and ask God, God, reveal any unconfessed sin in my life. I want to get it dealt with. I don't want sin to get in the way of your power as I go and sow the seed. Maybe it's specifically on Saturday when we have our gospel outreach. But anytime we go, we've got to pray that we have a clean heart. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. God, please show me, is there anything in my life? And so we're praying. And then we're praying for those that we're going to be giving seed to. God, and maybe you've prayed this before. God, would you please prepare the heart? Maybe you're going to go share the gospel with a family member. Maybe you're going to go and knock on doors, invite people to church. We go to the SkyTrain regularly, and we're going to meet people. God, prepare the heart of someone today to receive what I'm giving them. Send somebody with good soil, right? Pray about it. Do you believe God answers prayer? I sure do. I don't want to just run out there. I want to go out there. I want to go with seed, but I want to go with a broken heart. Weepeth. I want to go regularly, but I want to go prayerfully, because there's no way I can be a sower without the help of the Lord. So we see, number one, the seed. Number two, we see the sower. And then lastly, let's go back to our text, Matthew 13. We see the soil. The soil. The first soil that we see is in verses 18 and 19. I won't reread them. Matthew chapter 13. It talks about the wayside. The wayside. Verses 18 and 19 of our text is where it's explained, I should say. Not the first time that we looked at it, but the second time. It talks about someone who hears the word of God. So again, I'm all for hearing God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we don't want to just pray for people to hear the word of God, because according to this person heard the word of God. And the result of it was not fruitful. It says there specifically that they heard the word of God, but they understood it not. This is where we pray. Even at VBS, we prayed about every service. God, please help us to have a productive VBS. Help us help the kids to be able to understand. Even as a five-year-old, they may not be ready to get saved, but they can understand sin, understand God loves them, understand who Jesus is, and begin to build that understanding. But you know what happens? Satan comes in, and he wants to take that understanding away. He wants to take that seed away, and he uses the world, the flesh, he uses his demons, he uses whatever he can to reach in and grab that out. God, we need to pray that God would give us good soil. Then we see in verses 20 and 21, the second kind of soil is soil that is called into stony places. This is shallow soil. This is very little earth to cover the rock. Obviously, you're not going to grow anything planting it mainly on a rock. Doesn't work too well. This might be someone who looks even saved. The reason why we preach the gospel in some way and we ask God to help us preach the gospel as pastors anytime we get a chance is because I believe there are people, maybe I couldn't say definitively in every service, but I could say in many services, there are people that might even look saved, but they're like this person number two, stony. They hear the word of God. That sounds good. I'd really like to go to heaven. You know, burning in hell doesn't sound like a good deal. I'm going to get saved. They hear the word of God. That's what it says, right? They even make a profession of faith. Maybe they even get baptized. But here's the problem. This person has no desire to live the Christian life. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, if the Holy Spirit is inside of me, yes, I may not grow to everybody's speed, and we all grow at different times and different ways. I'm not talking about spiritual growth. It happens in different ways for different people. But if there's absolutely no desire to live for God, it's still, I just want to do what I want to do, and I got this save thing going on, and I got this Sunday thing going on, and I'm saved, but I want to do what I want to do. I don't know. To me, that sounds a lot like number two. I just want to do what I want to do. Stony heart. No fruit. Good soil desires to follow the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean good soil is perfect, but it has a desire. Let's quickly move. The next one, verse 22, among the thorns. Brother Rod and I were commenting, we were on our way in. Man, these beautiful, beautiful rose bushes. I was saying to him, isn't it amazing that even in a cursed world, God gives us a beautiful rose? The smell of those things, just don't grab them too fast, or there's because they do come with thorns, right? We're roses thornless in the Garden of Eden. Okay, you study that out and let me know, and we'll talk about it someday, okay? Anyway, among the thorns, verse 22. Here's what observation, here's an application I'll give you. Anything that crowds out Christ in our life is a thorn. Say that again. Anything that crowds out Christ is a thorn. In other words, my life's too crowded to do things for Christ. I got too many other things to do. Again, why were we saved? To bear fruit. Among the thorns. God, help me. God, help me. I need your help. I don't want things crowding you out. Really, what we need to do is we need to go back to Matthew 6:33 and we need to say, God, this is how I want my life. This is how I want it to look. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not if I have time left over. First. Not if I have the whatever. No, first. Jesus Christ wants preeminence. He doesn't want to be on a list. It's fine to have a list, but Jesus should not be on the list. Jesus is up here all by himself with no list. And I'm praying to live that way, okay? I'm not saying I got to work on that one. Pray for me, okay? Because even good things get in the way of the best. Okay, the last one is verse 23, and it's called Into the Good Ground. Hallelujah for Into the Good Ground. Turn ahead to Mark 4 quickly. Mark 4 is another, the same parable, only Mark's writing. Thank you for listening. little bit warm, but not too bad. Mark 4:20. Says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word of God, hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Would you go over to Luke chapter 8? Luke chapter 8. This is Luke's writing about the same parable. And Luke says, but that, verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, there's some just additional verbiage that the Holy Spirit gives each one of these writers, heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So as we look at all three of these texts, 13:23, Mark 4:20, Luke 8:15, here's what we see about the good ground. First, we see that the good ground understands what is being given. Their heart is prepared. It's good ground, okay? Sometimes this can be the first time. It doesn't have to be somebody that's heard it over and over again, but many times it will take that. But it can be someone who God's been praying, somebody's been praying for that individual. Some way halfway across the world, some way halfway across Canada, they've been praying for this individual, and they get an Anchor Baptist Church invitation. Someone hands it to them, and they show up at church. You know why? Because someone half across this country has been asking God to prepare the heart of their family member, their friend, whoever it may be. God's Spirit has been doing that work because somebody has been praying. And the seed comes in at just the right time. They've been praying for them. They get this piece of paper, a gospel tract. I should go to church. Why did they think that? They thought that because somebody was praying for them. God is answering that person's prayer. They come in. The word of God is preached. They're under conviction. Believe me, it's not the word of the pastor that brings conviction. It's the word of God that brings conviction. And the word of God is given, and that person maybe doesn't even know they're in church. They don't even tell them, oh, I'm going to go to church. But they come to a church, it doesn't have to be this one, but church that preaches the word of God, and they've been prayed for, and they're sitting there, and the Holy Spirit is working for them, working on them, and there's an invitation, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't even really kind of know why, but they're like, I need to go forward and talk to somebody. It goes all the way back to this person praying. So that their heart would be ready to understand, and then number two, receive. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, but as many as received him. But then it goes a step further, and we might say this word keeps. Understands, receives, keeps. Now, it's not just an emotional pull. Now there's something of genuine repentance, faith. I want to live my life for God. Where did that start? Somebody was praying. Somebody was sowing. You see, this all works together. Every day, I'm praying for probably about 10 people by name to get saved. It might be more than that, but I have a list of names. And I'm praying. You know, I believe they will get saved, or I wouldn't pray for them, because what's the point in praying if I don't believe somebody's going to get saved? I'm not just saying it's about you or me or whatever. I'm just saying, yes, we need to sow. Yes, we need to go, but we need good soil. And I believe that's where our prayer life comes into action more and more. As we go back and we give this one more time, in verse number 9, Jesus said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." I wonder, do we come to a time of Bible study and preaching, and do we leave there thinking, that was for somebody else? Boy, I wish so-and-so would have been there today. They needed that, you know. No, Jesus said, "He hath ears to hear, let him hear." May God help you, may God help me to not only keep what we hear, but to apply what we hear. Application is so important. Most of the time, what I get out of preaching says more about my heart than the preacher. I laid down last night and turned on a sermon. Why? Because you wanted to go to sleep? Yeah, if I'd have put mine on, I would have been gone quickly. No, it was early, and I didn't want to go to sleep yet. I wanted to hear. I needed something. I needed God to give me something before bed. And, you know, there's a lot of other things. You know, I like to comedy. I like to laugh. But you know what? Sometimes you just need a punch. You need something. And I got it. I got a good one last night. A good Bible message about Psalm 24. Wow. Powerful. Yes, sometimes the preacher will lay an egg. But many times it's not the preacher that's the problem. It's the heart of the hearer. May God help us to have ears to hear. Every opportunity we have to hear God's word preached, we should prepare the soil of our heart. I'm not saying this to be unkind. I don't want to be unkind. I just want to help you. But if you came to church tonight and didn't even ask God at all, "God, I need something from the preaching. Help me." It doesn't have to be, you know, a 30-minute prayer meeting. It might be sitting out in the car. Turn off the key. Take 30 seconds. "God, thank you for letting me be in church tonight. There's people all over the world that would love to go to church. I get to go to church in freedom. God, I don't want to go in there and come out the same. Please, I want this heart to be ready to receive this word." It might be a helpful thing. Good soil always keeps the word of God.